Environment and Land Use. Let's open a work session on Senate Bill 352. Joe, do you want to just come forward for a second? Are there any amendments we need to consider here?
I'm looking at my...
Senator Ringo, members of the committee, my name is Joe Rollator, representing Oregon Aquaculture Association. Yes, sir, we'd like to move the dash one amendments as drafted under the request of Dr. Bates.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions? Go ahead.
What are the deal?
The dash ones make it clear that if the cost to ODF&W of producing the fish themselves based on an audit is less than the amount they get on the bids, they don't have to buy the fish from private aquaculture. In other words, our intention all along has been that this is to save the state money. If it doesn't save the state money, then the Department of Fish and Wildlife would be exempt from having to buy the fish under the contract.
Follow-up question?
Go ahead.
What did you do to your nose?
I thought you wanted to get out of here at 2:15.
I'm trying.
I was down at my koi pond, and I picked up one of my cats that likes to ride in my truck, only he didn't want to ride in my truck then.
I see. All right. That's good.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Joe.
Thank you.
Phil, do you want to give your 20 seconds for the record? Go. That's plenty, Joe.
Thanks.
And then just dash words to Ways and Means.
For the record, my name is Phil Donovan. I'm here on behalf of the Northwest Steelheaders and the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association. You may recall back in February that the public hearing on Senate Bill 352 was abbreviated. And I understand that this is likely to be moving its way to Ways and Means. But just so that we're clear on the record, we do not support creating this permanent expenditure. And we will oppose it in the Ways and Means process because we're not willing to see state salmon, steelhead, and trout facilities potentially get closed. And the reasoning behind this is if the governor's recommended budget were to pass as it's currently drafted, and if this legislation were to pass, there's not enough general fund resources to keep our existing facilities operating. So that's kind of at the core of our concerns, and I appreciate the time.
Okay. Thank you very much. Senator Atkins, any questions?
You're in work session?
We're in work session.
Mr. Chair, move the dash one.
Senator Atkinson has moved the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 352. Is there any discussion? Any objections? No ordered.
Mr. Chair, move the bill as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Atkinson has moved Senate Bill 352 as amended to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. That closes the work session on Senate Bill 352. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 2438.
That's a House bill.
I'm sorry, House bill. We'll open a work session on House Bill 2438. Thank you very much. Committee staff, could you just review this bill for us, please?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 2438, which we heard a couple of weeks ago, modifies the rulemaking authority of the Land Conservation Development Commission related to the exceptions process to statewide land use planning goals. It requires the commission to adopt rules to allow an exception to be taken to allow a use authorized by a state land use planning goal that cannot comply with the approval standards for that type of use. I think this is one of Carlin's bills.
Yes. Mr. Levy, do you give this bill a thumbs up? Okay, here's handouts if you want to just put them out there. Committee, do you want some discussion on this bill? Would you like a we're in work session?
Mr. Chair, I've moved the bill to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Senator Atkinson has moved House Bill 2438 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? No ordered.
I'd like to.
Senator Atkinson will carry the bill. And Matt, could you grab the sign-up sheets on the other two bills, please?
Ballast water?
Well, I want to see.
You
want to do the ballast water right now?
I don't know. No.
Okay. Let's open up a public hearing on House Bill 2170. And we have... I can't read them.
Bob Danko and
Sebastian Deegans. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
While the witnesses are coming forward, I'm going to be leaving in about 3 minutes.
for another meeting. If this bill is going to move today, the witness may note that I'll be leaving in about 3 minutes. And there is only three of us here now.
Okay. Frankly, it wasn't my intention necessarily to move the bill today just because I haven't had a chance to sift through it. But
ballast water, it gets sifted.
Okay, well, we'll see about that. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Sebastian Deegans, senior planner for the Port of Portland and also a task force member. I'm submitting written testimony here both for myself and for Mark Sisma from Portland State University, who is unable to attend today, would have come otherwise. I think really this bill has been before you before, and I wanted to have a chance to submit the written testimony. I think primarily from the task force's perspective, the amendments in front of you bring the Oregon law into conformance with some other provisions in both California and Washington, and simplify the administration thereof. Also brings the law into conformance, changes certain requirements so that it is easier to administer for the Coast Guard as well. I think with that, I would open it up for some questions if you have any. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Representative Greenlick, we'll get to that bill in probably about 3 minutes. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Bob Danko with the Department of Environmental Quality. We support this bill. It has a minimal fiscal impact.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Rob Douglas, representing the Columbia River Steamship Operators Association and the Maritime Fire and Safety Association. We are in support of the bill as well.
Okay. Any questions from the committee?
Just a comment. It's a good environmental bill. I mean, you're basically saying they're not bringing in these foreign substances to Oregon. I'm comfortable with it, Mr. Chair.
But I just want to let it sit in my brain for a day. We'll roll this over to next time. And if I could just chat with you for 2 minutes, well, any one of you after this hearing, that would be great, or tomorrow or whenever. I just want to get my brain on it a little more than it is right now.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No, thank you for... So let's open a public hearing then on House Bill 2722, Representative Greenlick. Who's outside, Representative
Hunt?
Okay. Good.
Okay. I was just told you were. Mike Stark, he's heard.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm State Representative Mitch Greenlick, House District 33. One of your two subordinate legislators.
Not subordinate.
Happy to be here today.
Maybe insubordinate.
Is that too? thank you very much for holding a public hearing on House Bill 2722. And I hope I can convince you to... Here he comes. To move quickly, to move it out of here onto the floor. ORS 221031 defines how a city is formed. And it's not an easy process to form a city. You need a variety of steps. You need to do an economic feasibility study, which includes a description of the services and functions to be provided, an analysis of the relationship between the services, functions, and other needed government stuff. You have to provide the proposed first and third year budget. You present a position to the county that includes the name of the proposed city, the proposed permanent tax rate sufficient for operating revenue, signatures of 20% of the voters, and you then ask for an election to have that city formed or not formed. But in addition, under 221031, the other thing you require is the permission of any city that any part of its boundary comes within 3 miles of any part of the proposed new city. And that's an absolute veto, that if a city says, no, don't bother to do an economic analysis, find out whether it's feasible, you can't move forward under this statute. House Bill 2722 simply takes away that absolute veto. We've had some problems, as the chair has heard about, in Washington County, trying to deal with a variety of measures of how you create urban services for an urban growth district, which in Washington County includes about 190,000 people inside an urban growth boundary, but not in incorporated areas. And there have been a variety of things that have developed to provide those services, including a very complex set of service districts to provide those services. And we're talking about providing a couple of other service districts to provide those services. But when my constituents, in talking to one of the mayors, for example, about the annexation questions, asked whether they had the right to do the economic analysis and consider whether another city could be formed in northeastern Washington County, the answer was no, we'll veto it, that clearly. So I think that's not an appropriate matter. I think citizens have a very basic right to determine the nature of how they're governed. I think this is one that, while I don't think there are a lot more cities that are going to get formed under this, because it is a complex problem, it does require economic feasibility, I think giving citizens the right to consider the possible formation of a city is very important, and I think it helps their sense of their relationship with the legislature and with the state if we do what we can to expand their sense of their ability to democratically determine their future. And it's a straightforward bill, and I hope we can get you to take action on it.
Okay, thank you.
It also did pass out of the House on a 34-12 vote. Turned out on a day 14 members were off in hearings in other places. But
I have not talked to the League of Cities, and I'm going to hear from Linda Ludwig shortly. Are they going to be for or against this?
They're going to oppose it.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator, for the opportunity. For the record, Representative Dave Hunt from Clackamas County. We actually only have 170,000 unincorporated folks in our county. But if you think about it statewide, obviously both of you represent unincorporated residents of Oregon. There are over 1 million residents of Oregon that live in unincorporated areas. And regardless of whether those are more urbanized areas or suburban or more rural, they really have and should have three options before them. One, to remain unincorporated and to continue to contract for the kind of services that Representative Greenlick outlined. Two, to annex to another city. And again, based on other legislation this committee has considered and will consider, they should have the right to select that option or not.
I hope we're done considering annexation in this
Sorry.
We just sent you another one a few minutes ago.
Thank you. Did you go ahead?
But the third option is whether or not to form a new city. And unfortunately, in addition to several of the reasonable requirements that Representative Greenlick outlined, this one sentence in statute that requires this three-mile veto, we just believe is fundamentally unfair. If you look at my district in northern Clackamas County, about 80% of it's unincorporated. And there have been lots of discussions about whether or not that area should incorporate. Today, that area could be vetoed by 8 cities, the largest of which is Portland in a different county. The smallest of which is the city of Johnson City, 650 people. So it seems to be a fundamental issue of fairness, first of all, whether any city should have a right to veto, but to have a city from another county veto, to have a city of 650 veto a new city that might be 30, 40, 50,000 people, just seems fundamentally unfair. And so that's why this issue is before you, and we would encourage your timely and strong support.
Thank you very much. If this bill passes, can the county still veto an incorporation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, a city needs to meet those. It needs to have a feasibility study that's feasible. It needs to present a tax rate. It needs to present 20% of its voters. But a county can say, it just doesn't make sense. You haven't met the qualifications to be a city.
Right. Okay. Senator Atkinson?
So this is a typo? modify circumstances in which a country must reject a proposal?
Yeah, well, no, we have Canada in it as well. Does it really say a country? I don't think either Canada or Mexico is within 3 miles.
All right, I didn't know that.
Is that in the bill itself?
No, SMS.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe Mr. Shields does something I don't know.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Linda?
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair, member of the committee.
That's me.
Linda Ludwig from the League of Oregon Cities. House Bill 2722, I think you heard a very good description from Representative Greenlick that this is a bill about incorporation, not annexation, and that there is a procedure for cities to go through that are looking at incorporation. What I want to tell you about this provision with the three-mile veto, the reason it came about in terms of statutory provision was a result of the Millersburg incorporation very close to the city of Albany about 30 years ago. It was put into statute at that time and has continued to stay because of legislative concerns about having bedroom-type communities, cities in our state, rather than full-service cities.
And the issue with Millersburg was that they incorporated around a significant corporation and preserved taxes there for that city?
Yes.
That was a Millersburg issue?
That was. Yes, Mr. Chair, that was the case.
In essence, depriving the real city of Albany those revenues.
The real city, Mr. Chair?
Well, that time, yes.
The close-by city of Albany, yes.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question? Come on.
Yes.
Linda, is Sun River a city?
Currently, Mr. Chair, Senator Atkinson, no, it is not incorporated.
Huh. Okay. That's curious. I lived in the hood of Sun River once, one winter. Unincorporated Sun River.
Yeah.
The streets aren't paved. That's an experience. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
You get all the real city services of Sun River out there.
Yeah. Thank you, Senator Atkinson. The bill as proposed does do actually two things. It is true that under current procedure that a city can, city or cities that may be within 3 miles of a proposed incorporation, can pass a resolution that either supports or does not support the proposed incorporation, or they can simply not respond, in which an affidavit that is signed by any person requesting the incorporation can state that the cities or cities have not responded. So that is one piece. The second item that this bill does is it does change the mechanics of how the county court does approve or deny the petition for annexation in order to move it to a hearing. It currently, the county court can do that if the requirements are not met of the petition, the accurate petition, the feasibility study, the tax requirements, and so on, or it can do it because that the proposed incorporation will adversely affect a neighboring city. It has two ways to say, no, we don't believe it is in the best interest of the county or the citizens at that this time to do so. The bill changes it to a single requirement that the county court finds that the requirements have not been met and that the incorporation will adversely affect a neighboring city.
So in other words, if the impact would adversely impact a neighboring city, that alone is no longer sufficient.
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's true. So, in effect, the language of the bill in this portion, it makes it not just an administrative function. So, in terms of the league, we do believe that the 3-mile ring around the proposed new city is important for other cities to be able to look at the impacts, weigh that in, and have the ability to talk to their counties, neighboring cities about that. We do oppose the bill in its current form. However, we do ask the committee members if they feel that the bill would move out of the committee, to entertain an amendment that would change under Section 2, I believe it's subsection 4, that changed and retained the or language to enable the county court to still have the discretion both ways to deny the petition either on the adverse impact to other neighboring cities.
Okay.
Or because the requirements have not been met.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Greenlick, you want to join? And yes, Representative Fine, I don't want to exclude you.
Sure, this is the first I've heard from the League of Cities that this was an issue. If it would gain their support of it, I'd be happy to submit an amendment to deal with
line 23.
On page 3, I think, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. It's no problem at all.
Linda, does that make you supportive of the bill or just more supportive?
Or neutral?
Mr. Chair, I would have to say that I would have to take it back to our folks and see if we could be neutral. I don't want to misrepresent myself through Representative Greenlick. I don't think we could come out in absolute support of the bill.
Okay.
But it certainly would help the angst, I believe.
Mitch, what's your comment to that Millersburg problem? And, you know, is that something our state really wants to encourage, is more Millersburgs?
I think, and I think particularly if we deal with this issue, because it in fact was not my intention to not have the county be able to measure its impact on the city. I think that is an appropriate thing to have happen. I think that's something that the county ought to be considering. And sometimes, you know, it's just a competition. You hear some of this question of annexation versus the formation of a new city becomes real, and it does become around an industry. You and I both have industries in our area that might be the target of a new city, but in my mind, there are so many places where a new city could be formed given existing circumstances. You know, the argument is that if you don't have an industrial base for a city, you don't have the ability to have a tax base. In our districts, we have situations where we might have 40,000-50,000 people that could form a city who are already receiving urban services from special service groups. I think they might, from a governance perspective rather than from a tax perspective, be very happy to have a city for the slight extra amount that general government might cost, since they already have water and sewer and lights and roads and all the other things in terms of special districts. So I think it would be a problem if two cities, for example, got into the competition of who would have the Clackamas Town Center, which I know is an example. Is, I think, a problem that Representative Hunt faces. And but I'd let the county referee that, and I would make sure that there was enough room for the county to be able to referee that. I think that's where the referee ought to be.
Okay. Thank you. Question.
And I will get some -1 amendments prepared today.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, that closes the public hearing on House Bill 2722, and the committee's adjourned.
Ringo.